Hello, everyone, and welcome to Food Safety Matters, the podcast for food safety professionals. I'm Stacey Acheson, publisher of Food Safety Magazine, and today we're bringing you a special bonus episode that focuses on how metagenomics offers a fresh take on spoilage. Lately, there's a lot of discussion about how whole genome sequencing is opening up new horizons in the food processing industry. And metagenomics is related, but different, in that it doesn't focus on the whole gene, but studies the genetic material from environmental samples, including unculturable organisms. Today you'll be hearing about a 16S metagenomics application that lets you identify spoilage organisms in your facility, eliminate them, and reduce the possibility of spoil products reaching your consumers, as well as reducing your overall cost of quality. Just like our regular episodes, this episode will feature an interview by Food Safety Magazine's editorial director, Barbara Van Renterhem, and an industry expert. Today, that expert is Joe Heinzelman, Director of Business Development for Food Safety Genomics at Neogen. Joe began his career as a nanotechnology chemist and has since focused on marketing and business development efforts. He graduated from Albion College with a bachelor's in chemistry and from Northwood University with an MBA. Joe's here to tell us more about the practical applications of metagenomics.
Well, hi, Joe. It's great to have you on our podcast today.
Barbara, thank you so much for taking some time and having me on to talk about next-generation sequencing and metagenomics.
Great. Well, let's get started. So when you're working in helping Neogen develop the latest suite of sequencing services, what has been your take on the adoption of whole genome sequencing by our federal regulatory agencies?
You know, I think it's fantastic. And I think it really shows some of the passion and innovation that these agencies are looking to adopt and helping identify and prevent foodborne illnesses and taking them to the processors. It's a great area. It's a great technology. And I think one of the really exciting things is it's helping bring awareness to DNA sequencing and next generation sequencing to the broader food processing industry.
Now, have you seen a widespread adoption of whole genome sequencing in the food processing industry?
I have not. We've seen it's fairly limited outside of those three agencies. And there are a few people that have mentioned that they're looking into it, doing some different type of projects with it, but not necessarily widespread adoption. Actually, I just saw an article from Bob Ferguson today that the adoption is actually quite low of whole genome sequencing as an application of DNA sequencing.
Mm-hmm. I think most of what I have seen in this area have come from academic labs exploring the applications for use in food processing. So that makes a lot of sense. So how is the metagenomics that you're basing your services on, how is that different from what these agencies are conducting?
Well, the way these agencies are using next generation sequencing is to basically identify a specific type of bacteria from, let's say, a clinical sample where someone's been sick, identify all the A, T, C's, and G's of that microorganism, and then look back into the food supply chain to see if it's showing up on either food or plant isolates or an isolate from an environmental sampling swabathon. And they're using that to basically make the outbreak sizes of Listeria monocytogenes, for example, smaller. And so they're finding outbreaks sooner in the epidemiological outbreak in that epidemiological curve, and they're using that to prevent foodborne outbreaks and illnesses.
Are there other applications that you see in this field for food safety?
We see a lot of applications around food spoilage and shelf life and environmental monitoring. So I think that's one example where you're looking at one microorganism and tying it to a clinical case and being able to match those two strains up. We see that there's a lot of opportunities to understand how microorganisms behave within a processing environment, behave in foods that spoil over time, and, you know, understand what type of corrective actions you can do as you begin to understand how these microorganisms are behaving and transferring between different aspects of the supply chain.
Now, a lot of what you're describing with tracing outbreaks, you know, CDC uses PulseNet to do that. Can you see this technology as replacing PulseNet to a certain extent?
That is actually the plan. And so from what I've seen from both the CDC, FDA, and USDA, whole genome sequencing is replacing PulseNet. They've made a lot of excellent progress. There were some updates at the IAFP this year, and they're well on their way. PulseNet is being replaced by whole genome sequencing. It's a great application of next generation sequencing technology. And I think, you know, this will eventually help with, you know, making sure that they identify what plants need food safety audits and, you know, narrowing the size and scope of outbreaks.
Sure. That makes sense. Now, going back to next generation sequencing and metagenomics, do you anticipate widespread adoption of that technology?
We think there's more application with metagenomics, specifically because the information that people get from a metagenomic analysis is very, very different than what you would see in how people are using and interpreting whole genome sequencing data. And if I can dive into that a little bit more, the analogy I like to use is, instead of, you know, with whole genome sequencing, it's like a license plate. We're getting very specific information around one organism, and we're using that to compare against a lot of different microorganisms, either to rule them out or to say that they're very similar or closely related. Conversely, with metagenomics, what we're really starting to do is look at the microbiome. And the microbiome is just a nice word to say all these microorganisms in the same location, they're interacting with each other. How do we understand them? And there's a couple different aspects of metagenomics that are pretty useful. Right now, we're taking samples from both raw materials, finished products, and environmental swabs, and comparing them to see how the microorganisms transfer, what's there, how are they changing over time, and what type of impact does that have on, let's say, the organoleptic properties of a food.
So it sounds like you could refer to a food plant's microbiome, both from, you know, what's come in the raw material, what's in the environment. That's a really interesting concept, I think.
Yeah, and that's exactly where we're trying to take some of this. And there's some good research out there right now. And I think what we've done with NeoSeq is really kind of brought this to the forefront as a service and helped people understand what is possible with metagenomic analysis.
Now, you mentioned NeoSeq. If you could provide some more information about that, how your clients are using that in the plant.
So we've got a few different kind of studies or applications, as we like to think about them. Right now, we're all doing 16S metagenomics. And what that means is we're targeting the 16S gene of bacteria, which is a gene which is used to identify the genus of a bacteria. We're taking, let's say, for example, we're doing something like a spoilage investigation. What we do is we take in normal products and spoiled products, and we do a microbiome comparison between those two kind of groups of samples. And once we understand what's not necessarily supposed to be there from a microorganism standpoint, we look at the environmental samples that are also coming in and try and help companies understand where those microorganisms could be coming from. And because this technology doesn't rely on enrichment or isolation, we're able to do analyses on environmental samples without any type of biases, and we're also able to do unculturable organisms. So organisms that are really hard to culture by traditional methods, we're able to pull those out, identify them, and use that as part of the analysis.
So not having an enrichment step sounds like a game changer, in my opinion. Have you looked at norovirus? I mean, now there is a culture method available, but traditionally, like in a food service application or environment, that might be something interesting to look for as well.
Yes, and because it's a virus and it's got genetic material, you can actually sequence that. But with the 16S gene, we're only looking at bacteria, and so that's actually a useful differentiation, and actually helps with sequencing when we do the analysis, because we're targeting only bacteria, which means we can pull off a meat or a vegetable and not sequence all of the product itself and waste sequencing space. And so it's actually,
that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty useful in that context.
So are you finding anything interesting in the data that has surprised you?
It's the variety of microorganisms that are present on where, I mean, even in some of the clean surfaces that we've sampled, that we own, we're surprised at the microbial diversity on a clean surface.
Yeah, so you're wondering, how clean is it really, right?
I mean, exactly. And we've got these methods that have been served us great, and they're absolutely fantastic. And I don't mean to disparage any type of method that's there today, because they've certainly are useful, and they help people produce safe food. What we are seeing, though, is that there's a whole lot we don't necessarily understand. And I think what comes along with that is this type of microorganism that doesn't necessarily grow up on a tryptic soy auger that contributes to either food quality or food safety, or our understanding of how these sanitation practices are being conducted.
I was just going to ask you, a lot of times when I've seen studies that look at sanitizers or disinfectants, a lot of times whoever's doing the investigation will inoculate a surface with, even if they're using a mix of bacteria, they're the ones that they're always finding. So I think your approach is really interesting, because you would be able to look at the entire flora of what's there.
Yeah, and that's it. That's a key element to this. And even some of the food spoilage that we've heard of and that we've seen in the literature is coming from microorganisms that are not necessarily culturable by traditional methods. And so when you start to think about it from a food spoilage or shelf life limiting microorganisms, it's pretty useful, because you might be having these sources of bacteria that you wouldn't necessarily traditionally look at or examine or test. And this is kind of helping people understand where to go after these problems, where they might be coming from, and, you know, what their sanitation practices ultimately are doing within their facilities.
What other trends are you seeing in the marketplace where you might be able to leverage next genome sequencing technologies?
One of the big areas is this clean label push. I mean, so when you think about what we've done over the last so many years with preservatives, and when you start to remove some of these microorganisms that are probably in the facility and all the raw materials, now have a different environment in which they can grow on the food. And what happens is you have new types of spoilage issues. And because they're probably organisms that are hard to culture and hard to identify, this type of technology helps people understand what that is and maybe where it's coming from within, like, let's say, a raw material.
I think it's really important to look in that area specifically as more and more companies try to reformulate, right, bending to consumer demand for clean labels and not for a bunch of chemicals that consumers don't understand. And if the company doesn't play their cards right and they don't do the proper studies, they can reformulate, reducing, for example, certain preservatives, nitrates and nitrates in deli meat, for example, and change the whole shelf-like profile of those products. So that's really important.
Yeah, and if you think about how these developments, you know, occur, it's done by a food scientist at maybe a corporate lab that understands their own product formulations. They understand all the microflora that they have. They do it on, let's say, a pilot facility that's that's either close by or over their control, and everything looks great. And then all of a sudden, they send it out to a co-packer or they're a different facility, and then all bets are off. And it's likely because of the change in microflora, and you've changed the formulation.
Right, right. It's going to be exciting to see what new doors this technology opens. Where else do you see the technology moving in the food space?
I think one of the other areas in that we're already seeing people look to next generation sequencing is, let's say, food fraud and food identification and food authenticity. We do a little bit of that ourselves with meat species identification, where you send in a product and we can tell you whether it's got pork meat or beef meat or et cetera. That's probably a good example of where else this technology is being used today and where it can go next.
Oh, that's really fascinating. It was several years ago I heard a seafood producer complaining about when he was sourcing overseas and what was actually coming in. So I think that application will be very huge since it's there already. If you had one thing that you would want our listeners to take away from our conversation, what would it be?
I think one of the most important things when we talk to people when they're trying to understand what's going on here is that there's a very, very big difference in the type of data that's being generated with a whole genome sequence versus a metagenomic analysis. I think one of the best ways that people can try to understand those differences is to actually see data. And I would point them to, we've got some peer-reviewed publications where people are using this. We've got our own case studies and some videos where people can look at something very quickly and understand how it's different and start to kind of peel the layers off that onion in terms of their understanding of next generation sequencing.
Well, that's terrific. And we will be supplying links to all of those resources in our show notes for the podcast today. Thank you so much, Joe, for joining us. Really interesting information that is sure to be continue to promise to be a game changer in the food industry.
Well, Barbara, really thank you for your time today. Thanks for having us, and thanks for all that you do, and keep up the great work on the podcast.
Thanks, Joe.
To wrap things up, I'd like to thank our guest, Joe Heinzelman from Neogen, for offering this fascinating perspective on this new technology. For more information on 16S metagenomic testing for spoilage control, please visit the show notes page in your player or the episode page on our website at foodsafetymagazine.com/podcast/metagenomics or call Joe at 1-800-234-5333. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Food Safety Matters. We'll talk to you soon.